joining us from Tightline Outdoors. You see him with us at the ISD show all the time. He guides Tightline for years. He's a very accomplished angler, a tournament fisherman, Matt Ensley. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Terry.
And it is a good morning, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, we're trying not to mention that four-letter W word, but boy, it's nice for a change.
Yeah, I'm out on the water right now. We're just smacking them.
Where are you at?
Chatfield.
Are you walleye or smallmouth or both?
Both. Both are going strong. It's an early year for bottom bouncer and nightcrawler bite. You can also drag leeches behind a Lindy rig or a jig with a nightcrawler or leech. And everyone's catching them. We've caught about 40 or 50 this morning and a couple of limits of fish, some nice keepers.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're getting both. Are you targeting the walleyes and just picking up some smallmouth, or are you targeting walleyes and when you get enough of that going after the smallmouth? Are you changing your presentation?
Yes, changing the presentation. So after we get done walleye fishing, and the bite will slow, you know, late morning, about any time now, it'll start to slow down. Then we'll switch over to tossing cincos or drop shots around spawning areas. The bass, both largemouth and smallmouth, are on beds. They moved to beds in the last 3 or 4 days. And so you're fishing shallow, hard bottom areas, or sight fishing the bed itself with cincos or drop shots. Drop shots are my two best presentations for this.
Now, on Chatfield, you don't have much of a largemouth bite. That's mostly smallmouth, right?
It's 100% smallmouth, but some nice ones. They've got some big fish growing up in this lake on the smallmouth side, and numbers of them. Yesterday I was out here, we caught probably 20 or 30 smallmouth.
That's awesome. Now, were they all on beds? Were some of them still moving up and down, some pre-spawn, or were pretty much everything you're catching on beds?
You know, the thing that triggers the bass, whether it's largemouth or smallmouth, to come on beds is the full moon cycle. And this month in May, it's early. Normally, it's later in May. And being early, it's triggered these fish to start coming up in waves. And they do come up in waves over about a 30-day period. So the first wave is moving up right now, and you can sight fish those fish. And there are other fish a little bit deeper in that 7, 8, 10 foot of water that are staging to move in.
Now, you're right. It is a little early. In fact, I was out checking some ponds and smaller lakes and caught a bunch of nice bass over the last couple of weeks and a bunch of panfish. I was kind of really more checking for panfish to take my grandkids out fishing if they come up. And I was surprised because the weed growth hadn't come up yet in a lot of the small ponds, which meant the water was still fairly cool. But yet there was activity, and you say that's the full moon. What is the water temperature at Chatfield? It is probably a little bit cool on the cool side for bass.
57, but smallmouth like the cooler water. So, like you said, there's not a lot of largemouth. There's a few, but 57 degrees. At Quincy, which is a smaller bass lake, it's already hit 60. So, you know, lakes are ranging between that 57 and 59 range, and Quincy, the smaller bodies, ponds are hitting 60 degrees now.
And that's a pretty crucial temperature. Once you get into those 60s, they really are actively spawning. What are you doing at Quincy for the largemouth, different than you might be doing at Chatfield for the smallmouth?
You know, again, the Cinco works really well as those staging fish move up in waves during the day as the shallow water warms, going down the bank and blind casting cincos, not necessarily fishing a bed, will catch those fish as they move in. And the drop shot, if you're sight fishing, you know, there's two ways to tell a bed from a distance. One is a light color circle and the other is a dark color circle. And people miss the dark color circles. They don't realize that that's a bed. And, tossing a drop shot behind the bed and dragging it in with a little 4 or 6 inch plastic worm is an awesome technique. They just will not leave it alone. But you can also throw a jig in there. Sometimes if they totally ignore the drop shot, you can throw a jig and drag it in. It looks like a crayfish, and they will not leave a crayfish on that bed. They'll pick it up, move it out.
Yeah, we used to do that with tubes quite a bit. Put a fairly heavy head into a tube and try to get it right into the the bed and move it around. It drives them crazy. They hate it. On your Cincos, are you rigging those wacky style, or are you Texas rigging them?
I Texas rig them because then they're weedless. You don't have to worry about them snagging the bottom or any structure that you're fishing around. Bass, when they go in beds, love to be around something to hide or protect part of the bed so they don't have to guard it quite as aggressively. So when you're trying to fish a stick or something, you're going to hang it if it's not weedless.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, wacky rigging, presentations like a Cinco or a small worm can be fantastic presentations. But if you need to get into the cover, the rocks, the bushes, the weeds, I'm a huge believer in Texas rigging Cincos. I do it a lot more, I think, than most guys I fish with. Sounds like you might do that too.
I do. Once they move shallow, I'll throw a Cinco year-round.
Yeah, and it's a tremendous bait. It's one that it's hard to make a bad presentation with, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's dynamite on these rocks. Sheffield has a lot of rocks and dam area. The smallmouth will not let a 4-inch Cinco alone. If you throw it up on those rocks, you can have a heyday on them, catch 50 of them in no time.
I was just going to ask you what size and any particular color.
A four inch, and if I'm, and by the way, I use these 4-inch Cincos for trout too. You go up into an Antero or someplace like that, they love those little 4-inch Cincos. But if I'm not fishing for trout, if it's bass, it's a dark color, either a light green, dark green, green pumpkin, something olive color. And nowadays they laminate them, so they've got two or three different colors in the plastic.
Yeah, I got to tell you a quick story real quick. Was down in Mexico bass fishing on one of those, what was Lake Huitez, one of those big bass lakes down there. And I was out with our guides from the resort, and it was their water, so I didn't want to tell them how to fish, but I had my stepson with, and he was going to run camera for a TV show. But we weren't ready to film yet, so I said, or we had Karen running another camera. So I said, here, let me put a little Cinco on and just throw this around those bushes. I Texas rigged it, and I said, and see if you can hook up, because he wasn't an experienced bass angler at the time. So I'm throwing the lures that these guys are telling me and the spots they say are going to hold bass. Meanwhile, he's already caught like four or five huge bass on this little Cinco. So the guy turns to me and he goes, maybe you should throw a Cinco.
Well, most people don't. You know, it's just a stick, plastic stick bait, and it doesn't look like much, I admit that. But if you put it in the water with a hook in it and watch it, as it sinks, the reason it's called a Cinco is it's full of salt. It makes it heavier than water, so it makes it sink. And that added salt, when it sinks, it actually wiggles. And that wiggle is what makes it come alive in the water, not the action you impart by moving it to pick it back up off the bottom and then let it sink again. That's the presentation. I call it a do-nothing bait. Just throw it out there and do nothing, and you'll catch fish with it.
You're absolutely right. It's a great bait to throw. And if you don't get something, you can pop it up, jig it around a little bit, and then let it fall all over again. You can make that presentation sometimes two or three times before you reel it in.
Absolutely. And when you wear out the plastic a little bit on one end, save it, cut it in half, and use it for a Ned rig.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they make great. In fact, I get a kick out of all the way that they're making now these little Ned rig baits. All they are is Cincos that they cut the end off the mold. And so you're right, if you got old ones. Before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about what you're seeing. What are you seeing out at Chatfield Reservoir?
The walleye bite is crazy. It's just phenomenal.
I meant Cherry Creek. We talked Chatfield.
Oh, Cherry Creek. Yeah, the fish have been in the basin, but Cherry Creek is a shallower lake and smaller than Chatfield, so it warms a little bit quicker. So that water temperature was in high 50s. And, of course, it's been closed for a week due to a death out there. It's back open now, and that water temperature is approaching 60 degrees. Those fish, just like they are at Chatfield, are going to move up on the roadbeds and shallow flats at Cherry Creek if they're not already there. I haven't been there in the last 2 days, so they could already be up there. But when they're in the basin, we like to pull lead core with flicker shads and plastic. We've been killing them all April and early May. doing that, and some population of them still are deep in that 22 feet, trolling with your ticker motor. And then as they move up on top of the shallow flats, you want to switch over to blade baits. The slow death bottom bouncer works great with a night crawler, and I'll switch to that right now, actually, is when the transition is occurring.
Before we move on, you made a great point. Unfortunately, there was a tragedy out at Cherry Creek that had the lake closed for the last week. So people getting out there in the next couple of days, those fish haven't been beat up the way they normally are. You might get some pretty active fish that haven't been molested for a while that really really could end up being a tremendous, almost like a mid-June bite if you get into the right fish. What are you seeing at Aurora Reservoir? Anything?
Aurora is a little later. It's a deep lake. It has 70, 80 feet of water in the basin, and because of that, it warms slower than most of our metro lakes. So the smallmouth will be the first thing, and they are giants out there. Low population, but big fish. The state record came from there. I got one out of there a few years back that was 6'7", and those monsters are still there, and they'll be on beds in the Marina Cove fishing the rocky points. Sight fishing those beds, drop shot again is a dynamite presentation, as well as the Cinco. And next will be the walleye. And at Aurora Reservoir, I like to fish Aurora in the summertime for walleye because it's a cooler lake. They stay deeper. And just about all these techniques we're using now, bottom bouncers as well as blade baits, things like that work fine.
And I would imagine you're still picking up a lot of trout at Aurora too.
Sure, as you mentioned, the trout. It is a hidden gem for trout here in the metro area. 3-4 pound trout and lots of them. It's stocked every year, and those trout are monsters.
Yeah, it's a hidden gem. A lot of people don't go because you can't use your big motor, but I'd go out there with my big boat and just use the electric, or if you've got a smaller boat with electric, you can use electrics, and you're not going to fight the wakes, and it's a beautiful fishery. Last but not least, what are you seeing up in the mountains?
Our mountain lakes are open as far as water is concerned. The ice is gone. Antero's open, so is 11 Mile and Spinney. Spinney's my favorite trout lake up there just because of the size of the cutbows. But it's just really getting started. At Spinney, they draw the water down. It's owned by the city of Aurora, so they're just filling it up. It's going to take a little while to get that water level back to where it needs to be. But Antero's putting out trout, so is 11 Mile. So it's just starting. The trout bites are.
All right. Well, sounds like there's a lot to choose from. If you're going to go fishing tomorrow, where would you go? Chatfield?
Chatfield and Cherry Creek, and you want to go for walleye. It really is, if you haven't experienced it this year, early bite and phenomenal for numbers and keepers, quality fish. I have to give a shout-out to the Division of Wildlife. They have done a masterful job of milking the females and males and restocking these lakes in Colorado with walleye, and they are abundant.
All right, my friend. Sounds like it's time to be on the water. Matt, I'll let you get back and do some more fishing. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Terry.